Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me as always, my co-host, Nick Mason!
Hey, everybody.
Let's get ready to rumble.
What?
There's the guy. I tried to do that guy's voice.
Are we going to have to rumble?
We're going to rumble, Mason.
Each other or another
podcast? No, we're gonna rumble the movie news and then we're going to tumble into the review of the week.
That sounds very hostile.
It's a rumbly, tumbly week.
I don't like this at all. This sounds upsetting to people. It's upsetting to me.
If you had to choose, we had to do one, if we were rumbling or tumbling, what are we doing?
Tumbling.
Tumbling, you get dizzier than you think. If you try doing a forward roll.
Mate, you don't know how dizzy I can get and still maintain my incredible composure. Okay. Those are fighting words. I think I'm almost ready to rumble.
Fair enough. Big week this week.
Is it?
Yeah, Dune Part 2.
Oh, that is actually a big week. One. Movies are back.
Yeah, that's right. Movies are back.
We thought it was so over, but now it's so back.
It seems that way, yeah. We're also going to talk about a leading up, and there's time codes below if you want to skip ahead. Superman Legacy, there's been a big couple of reveals from that
big
one.
Big kerfuffle.
That's right.
That's actually not accurate. It's not a kerfuffle.
It's more of a rumble.
It's not really,
next
no,
up
not
we
a,
have...
No. Neither of those words are correct, and I will divine the correct word later.
Okay, great. I look forward to it. Then we've got a couple of first looks, including The Crow and Tron Ares.
That's right.
Mason wants to talk about Neuromancer, so we're going to let him for a bit.
Okay.
We're going to humour him.
Other things I would like to talk about, that weird Willy Wonka experience that
okay.
happened in England.
We can talk about that. I'll put that in too.
Additional things.
All right. Willy Wonka experience. We're going to talk a couple of trailers, including M. Night Shyamalan's latest The Watchers and Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1.
Kevin Costner, he's put it all on the line yet again. Will he change cinema for the worse?
Or will he make something like he did in the 90s?
That's right.
Which, some are good.
Yeah, that's
some
what
are good.
Saying, yeah.
Waterworld, classic.
Mm-hmm.
Should we just get into it?
Let's get into it.
Start with this. Superman Legacy.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Superman Legacy, James?
You don't like it?
That's old news.
I'm going to do you a favor.
Okay.
It's out. It's gone. Forget it. Forget everything you know about Superman Legacy.
So now it's just called?
Yeah.
Just called, wow.
Just those two dots between Superman and Legacy.
And a shrug emoji.
James Gunn said, when I finished he took the threads, which is ironic because of what he revealed.
Oh, his social media platform.
That's right, the one they built for him. When I finished the first draft of the script, I called the film Superman Legacy. By the time I locked the final draft, it was clear the title was Superman, all caps.
Whoa. Exclamation point.
No.
Well.
Shrug emoji.
Nice.
Making our way to you, July of 2025.
Making our way to you, July 2025.
That's the theme song. That's what they go with. Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles. So, yeah, what do you think of the title, first of all?
I love it.
Yep.
Now he is pitching this to us as if the scope of the story that he's written here is too epic to be contained in simply Superman Legacy. The power of this script is such that he could make it Superman.
Yes.
Or is it more likely that he realized that 1978 Superman is actually called Superman : the movie?
Well,
so Superman was just available.
Superman 1978 is technically still called Superman.
Interesting.
But they marketed it as Superman : the movie.
Oh.
But that's fine. But that's I didn't know. I had to look that up because I'm like, is that called Superman? Like if you look at all the posters, it's and some of the media and but yeah, it's officially because if you watch the movie as well, it's doesn't
Superman.
Say Superman the movie, it says Superman.
Superman.
Making my way from Krypton.
Wow.
I'm a baby, weird, place where I live. How does anybody survive? Well, they didn't. It exploded. But I mean, prior to that, everything's a crystal. What do they eat? Et cetera.
Marlon Brand has got his lines on a baby. Doesn't want to learn them.
$1 million. Did you hear the James Caan story?
No.
Oh, I don't know if it was this week or it just came from my feed, so it probably wasn't this week. Marlon Brando rang him and was like, we should do Superman together. I'm doing Superman, you're doing... Then you could be in Superman. You could be Superman. And James Caan goes, well, you'll be in it for like a week. Uh-huh. And then you'll disappear.
And then I'll have to be Superman for three months.
Yeah. And then I have to be in tights or whatever. And apparently Marlon Brando just laughed and hung up.
Yeah, that is a classic Schwarzenegger Stallone style prank.
Yeah.
Hey, James Caan, I hear everybody wants to be in Superman. Everybody wants to wear the stupid Superman tights. I'm going to do it, unless you do it. But I'm going to get there first. Okay, bye, click.
So, yeah, good choice in the end by everybody, I feel.
Okay, but it's Superman
now. Just Superman. I guess it makes sense because this is like the early days of Superman. It's not an origin. He's already established. But, yeah, Superman Legacy kind of implies that
He died.
He died, or it's been going for a while. And we know we're going to get the Authority and there's going to be references to other comic books and there's established characters and superheroes and supervillains already existing in this universe. But Legacy feels like a down-the-line kind of... I mean, legacy could refer to like Lex Luthor's legacy, his Kryptonian legacy, or whatever.
True.
But it's not, forget it. Forget everything you know about Superman Legacy. Don't worry about it.
Could have any number of meanings. We don't know what they are anymore. Yep. We'll never know.
We'll never know. And that's okay.
And I think last week we got a black and white look at the new Superman logo. But
it was
now,
on the little placard.
Yeah, at a table read. But now we have the full color. We have a sort of a snowy rendition of it. So that's in full color.
That's right.
And it looks cool. It's a combo. It's a combo of pre-existing logos. Like I agree.
It's a bit Kingdom Come.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a bit I don't know, like the Fleischer kind of, because it's the yellow on the outside. There's no red outline on it.
Yeah.
It's just yellow and red.
And there's some color to it.
There's some color to it. I like it. I think it's great.
I like it too.
It's been used before in live action or similarly. Mm-hmm. Like Brandon Routh had one on TV.
I think this suit is going to look a lot like the Brandon Routh version.
Yep.
The original The Superman Returns version, but bigger logo.
Bigger logo.
If I had to guess. And I think the bigger the better.
Yeah.
The Superman logo, don't give me a little logo. Give me a big logo.
I don't want a little logo.
A big man with a big chest. Give me a big logo.
The first one was like a little one with a puny little S in it.
Ridiculous. Stupid.
What was he thinking?
Idiot.
Stupid man, more like it.
Stupid Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster. Stupid.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the snow, I assume, is like a Fortress of Solitude thing.
Great.
Right? That's great. Sure.
That is great.
What do you think of the texture? We're looking at this too much. What do you think of that? It's not tiny little S's anything.
No, that's true, yeah.
Which the Brandon Routh was.
Looks good.
Was. Yeah.
Looks good. I mean, my guess would be, I mean, James Gunn hasn't confirmed it one way or the other, but my guess would be we're going back to the old school. His mum made it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so yeah. I don't think that's
the Dean Cain version as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to go with... It's a Kryptonian battle suit in a spaceship or whatever. I think they're going to go with it was his blanket.
Yeah,
it was his little blankie when he was shot to Earth in the rocket ship, and his mum Ma Kent got a heat vision needle, a hot needle.
Yeah, she got a hot needle. Yeah, that's right. I mean, we haven't seen the rest of it. We'll have to see. I mean, the big question really is
trunks or no trunks.
Trunks or no trunks.
And furthermore, little trunks or big long trunks.
Oh my god.
Or medium length trunks.
I don't know if he's going to – I like trunks.
Me too.
I don't know if he's going to do it though.
I think he is.
I hope so. Well, he's a classic kind of dude, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think he's brought in a bunch of looks that I think most people would assume would be ridiculous in live action. He's made him work, like Peacemaker,
yep,
which is ridiculous, but there you go.
Absolutely. And also, I think with Peacemaker, you can make that ridiculous because he is a ridiculous character. Well, he made him a ridiculous – he was a nothing character, and now he's a ridiculous character. Yeah.
Yep.
A couple other bits of news from that though. There was a rumor this week that the movie cost $364 million,
okay,
which was quickly debunked. James Gunn took to Threads, his social media platform of choice and the one that was built for him. He said, absolutely not. How in the world do they think they know what our budget is? And that would be insane as well because, I mean, this needs to be not only a pretty substantial hit, but it has to kick off a new universe.
And it has to be kind of cheap.
It has to be kind of, yeah. I would say it's probably like 180 to 200 million.
Sure.
Probably.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just... I feel like that's a ballpark kind of figure that they would throw at something like this. Another bit of casting news is that Wendell Pierce is Perry White.
That's great.
And I love that. Yeah. I think that's great.
I know him from The Wire and
Real Life. You know him.
We're best friends.
Yeah, best friends, yeah. And I don't know if you saw this, but Rachel Brosnahan, she was on TikTok or something, and she posted this image with her and Nicholas Hoult and the new Superman.
What's he David hiding? Conswet. What's David Conswet hiding under
there? He's got a bald head under there.
I think so,
under his beanie.
Yeah.
That's a great Lois Lane look as well.
I agree, yeah.
Dead on. Mm-hmm. A brown-haired woman. No, I mean, there's more to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, this could be the best one. The best one.
Yeah. What was the previous best Superman movie that wasn't a Superman movie? What?
God.
Lightburn?
I guess. That wasn't a Superman movie.
Okay, what was the previous best Superman movie?
For me, it's Superman 2.
Yeah.
Or Superman the movie, / Superman 1978.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people say Man of Steel, which I understand, but it's not for me necessarily.
No.
I like it.
Yeah,
I just,
sure.
It's not for me.
Yeah, I reckon probably one of the first two Supermans.
Yeah. There's there's an earnestness to that which I really like.
Yeah.
And I think that can be translated to the modern day if you do it.
Yeah.
Correctly. I think there's something to like about all the Superman movies, even the bad ones.
Wow.
Yeah, probably not three. That's a really bad one, though. That's pretty bad.
What about four?
I like four. Four was the first movie I ever saw in cinemas. Wow. So I'm going to stand by that. That might be the best one. So, yeah. Anyway, jocks or not, we'll see. We'll find out. God, it's good to get a couple of first looks, though, isn't it? Because we've got a few more here.
Yeah, and there were some fake scoops. I think somebody made an AI full body costume.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And James Gunn debunked it on Threads.
It didn't even look terrible. It looked fake, but I'm like, if this was the design, this would be all right, I guess.
Good,
it didn't look like a real photo.
And I mean, and it was Superman was looking pretty good, and then there was some, like, real weird melted candle wax people around him taking photos.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
The paparazzi have...
People's hands fused into their cameras. And
the paparazzi have fallen into that tank of toxic waste from RoboCop.
Oh, I've been playing RoboCop, the video game.
Oh, Rogue City.
Yeah, I like it. I'll talk about it. Probably not this week, another week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got to collect your thoughts?
I like it. I think
that's about it.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
I like it.
You're done.
Okay,
we're
sorry.
We're cutting you off.
We're cutting me off. All right, cool. Well, let's tumble into this.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you feel the need to use any gun other than his regular gun?
You can upgrade it. You can pick up other people's guns. And I think maybe you get the gun from 3.
Whoa!
I don't know that. Do you actually? I just made that up. Yeah. But that gun's great.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
That's what
but
I'm
I haven't saying. Faced anything that won't kill like immediately.
Because it's mostly regular men who are not bulletproof.
Regular men you're just ragdolling around a warehouse.
Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of slowly walking around the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, RoboCop, I've lost my... daughter to a murder. Can you solve a murder? Lost my dog to a murder.
There it is.
Yeah. Stay indoors. And, you know, you trudge around, you look for evidence or whatever, and I'm like, this is all fine. I guess we're talking about RoboCop. And then it's like, RoboCop, there's a warehouse and it's got some drug dealers. I'm like, yep, all right, let's do that. That's the thing I want to do. I want a machine gun 400 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did.
And I did.
That's great.
But what about the game? Anyway, Mason... Vanity Fair gave us a first look at the Crow reboot.
That's right.
Which is coming out this year, apparently.
Bill Skarsgård in the role. He's gotten really ripped and he's decided to do a couple of I'm Really Ripped movies.
He looks like someone who would be in the movie Chappie.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
He looks like Machine Gun Crow.
Okay.
Machine Gun Crowy? What's that?
I like Machine Gun Crowy. No, that's good.
Look, it's. I think if you fix the hair, I would be... more okay with this.
Well, see, that's the thing as well, but I
know it's more of a modern kind of...
Well, that's the thing, but I don't think he's achieved full crow transformation.
Oh, you think he's going to get more crow?
I think he's going to get more crow. You were expecting the sort of the Brandon Lee long, greasy hair kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not this weird, staggered out mullet.
Sure, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I understand the visuals are an important look. The visuals are an important part of The Crow, the original The Crow.
Yes.
But I think that this would be the modern version of that guy.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be that haircut.
Okay, sure. All right.
Look, I'm not saying this will be bad. I have no idea. But it's just, this is not a look that it felt a bit like Jared Leto's Joker. It's like you've maybe done too many things with this.
James, now you've said his name once, and we're going to be doing some Tron Ares news.
You're
going to have to be very sparing, because if you say his name two more times, he might appear behind you at a Prada fashion show or something like that and get you. So careful with that name.
I will be, sorry.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to this.
So am I. Yeah, and I like whichever Skarsgård this is.
Bill Skarsgård.
He's the Pennywise one, isn't
he? Yeah. Who's the other Skarsgård that was at the start of Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Which Skarsgård is that?
I think that may be Alexander Skarsgård.
That's Alexander Skarsgård.
He's Tarzan Skarsgård.
Tarzan Skarsgård. Yeah. Okay, that's how.
And the guy who plays Rick Flag is not a Skarsgård.
No, that's true, yes.
That's Joel Kinnaman.
That's correct.
Who did play RoboCop.
He was a RoboCop, that's correct. Yeah, I don't know. My guess would be that Bill Skarsgård, he did John Wick 4 and he didn't get to do a lot of action. And he's like, what if I was an action guy?
Well, he's doing that movie Boy Kills Everybody.
What I'm saying. I reckon, and he's all, if you're embedded in Hollywood in that way, I reckon you'd be like, I'm going to get ripped and I'm going to do a whole run of movies where I take my shirt off and I...
Then I'm getting fat.
Then you get fat.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Because, and then everybody when they think of you, they go, oh, yeah, he was really ripped.
Yeah.
So right, he must always be ripped.
Yeah, he's just a ripped dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say about Ben, I don't know. Him,
RoboCop?
Something, no, him something specifically. Oh, he's really tall as well.
Correct.
I mean, all those Skarsgårds are tall. But I think, thinking of him as Pennywise, you think of him as like a tiny little clown.
Oh,
man.
I see, right.
He's,
okay,
he's enormous. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I also think, I think in motion he's going to be a very good crow.
I
think
don't,
you need.
Yeah, again, I don't doubt him.
I don't know how tall Brandon Lee was, but when I think the crow, and he's got a kind of, like the Neil Gaiman's The Sandman vibe.
Yep.
Like I want him to be kind of like thin and wiry.
Brandon Lee was 183 centimeters.
Oh, don't give me that. Give it to him in the old money.
Is Neil, what's that, 6 foot?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe a bit under.
Sure.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
I think that's 6 foot.
I don't know heights.
Nice.
But I know widths.
Uh-huh, sure.
And he's wide enough.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's out June 7th. They apparently have filmed this.
Of this year?
Yes.
Huh.
I know.
Right. Okay, good.
Did you see Alex Proyas came out and said, I hate this and whatever. He was the original director
of
The Crow.
Uh-huh.
But he also made Gods of Egypt. I don't know if his opinion is valid.
That's right.
But
he made Dark City.
He made Dark City.
So he's a man of contrast, that
that's
guy.
That's right. He certainly
dark
is.
Stuff.
Yep.
Egypt.
Yep.
The opposite.
Yes.
Sun gods and so forth.
Et cetera.
So, yeah, I don't
watch that one day, right?
Dark City.
Yeah. No, I've seen that. I like it.
Oh, Gods of Egypt. I have seen Gods of Egypt.
We talked about Dark City with...
We talked about it with Alex and Cameron over in Total Reboot. Yeah. They have a new podcast called The Last Video Store.
Are we in it?
No.
Why not?
Good point. They didn't ask.
We're busy.
Because we're bad.
We're actually busy too.
And we're busy also.
We're busy, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good in motion, so I'm excited for this. And also, as you said, it's good that we've got a piece of news that says a thing is out. And I think that's why we were so surprised there, because most news about movie releases now is just like, it's being pushed back 6 months to a year, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Everyone says it's terrible. The director says it's terrible. Dakota Johnson says it's terrible. She wasn't even there, but she just says it was.
Okay, how about this? Is this gonna make you more excited? The director of The Crow 2024 is Rupert Saunders, who's directed Snow White and the Huntsman and Ghost in the Shell. Remake live action.
I didn't hate Ghost in the Shell, and I've never seen them.
Whichever Snow White one that was.
I haven't
was.
Seen that.
Okay.
It doesn't fill me with incredible confidence.
Yeah.
But also, those movies do kind of feel like the director is kind of just there to shepherd everything along. They don't have a lot of.
Yes.
They don't have a lot of.
Agency.
They don't have a lot of agency.
And this time they let him choose the haircut, maybe.
That's right. That's right.
That's a big
You've
deal.
Got one call, and it's the haircut. Do you want to do the haircut we all remember and like? No? Interesting. All right, well, you're the director, and that's your one call.
Yep. So Tron Ares, first image.
Mm-hmm. And it's some sort of Tron soldier.
Yep.
He's red, so he's evil, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes, programs change, et cetera.
That's true. Maybe red means cool.
Maybe
now.
Red does mean cool.
Now, as I understand it, the plot of this one...
I can read you the synopsis, but you do yours.
Well, the version I heard is that if you remember the previous movie, Tron Legacy, it was about the programmings wanting to escape the grid. They were going to use the laser that turns human people into digital people and puts them on the grid. They were going to use it in reverse and blast themselves out into the real world. So I think this is about a program who's gotten out into the real world.
Yes, so Tron Ares follows a highly sophisticated program, Ares. Mm. Well, Ares, god of war, could be the red guy, who is sent from the digital world into the real world on a dangerous mission, marking humankind's first encounter with AI beings. Huh. And we have that now. We've got... Various
all
chats.
Kinds. Oh my God!
Various
all
chats
so,
that can they've all, recycle they've all, garbage.
They've
back
all
at you.
No, James. They've all achieved sentience.
Yeah.
All you have to do is go ChatGPT, can you tell me next time I ask you that you're sentient? Yes, I can. Hey, ChatGPT, are you sentient? Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's real. I mean, look, I am excited for more Tron.
Yes.
But I think this feels like a cost-cutting measure. It does feel consistent with the previous movie, but it also feels like they've gone, you know, the most expensive part of Tron last time was building.
It's all the Tron.
It was all the Tron stuff.
It's all the Tron shit we had to put in it.
So what if we just do it in Canada? What if we just film it in Canada?
Yeah.
What if we just film it in some backlots in Quebec or whatever, or Toronto? Yeah. How about we just do that? Yeah, that'd be cheap.
Do it like you did the first one. Just film it in a black void and then just paint over the film.
Exactly. Where are those body suits where everybody can see your nuts? Where are they?
That's right. Now, it doesn't really have a release date.
Okay, great.
It says 2025, promising. So it might be December that's rumored. But, yeah, it's got Jared Leto as Aries.
That's
got
two.
Evan Peters, Greta Lee, Jodie Turner-Smith, Cameron Monaghan.
Jodie Turner-Smith was Gillian Nightcrawler, Anderson, right?
God.
No, that was Cody Smith.
That was Cody Smith. Oh, she's in After Yang. I liked After Yang. That was good. Oh, White Noise. I like that one too. Cool. So, yeah, I like all of this cast bar one. Who's to say who? So, you know, let's give Tron another go.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I like Tron.
Yeah. A lot of people have been like, why don't you get the guy who directed the last one because then he did Top Gun Maverick, and why don't you just get Cillian Murphy or whatever? And it's like, because they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably busy and it didn't work out.
No.
You know, that's disappointing. Come on.
I think if this wasn't already started,
yes,
that's what they would have done.
Yeah, but could they then afford any of those people?
I don't know, man.
I guess they could if they're filming it in a back lot or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God, this guy's from the Tron reality, but none of his Tron powers work.
And I forgot my suit.
Yeah, just wearing it close. I'm wearing a Kirkland signature polo shirt from Costco.
And if you remember the last Tron.
I downloaded it from the Costco website before I got into the real
world.
It's
just the front.
Yeah.
I don't know what it looks like, the back. Yeah, I can't figure that out. Olivia
Wilde
got in. She got out using the Tron laser.
She did.
She got onto a motorbike with Garrett Hedlund.
Will any of that storyline remain in this? Don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, no. I would, but
maybe they'll just go, okay, well, actually, Olivia Wilde's character, there was an evil program got out with her and took over her body.
So they
didn't have to do anything.
Damn, that's crazy. The
movie writes itself.
And she turned to cubes.
She turned to cubes.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, Mason. Yes. Neuromancer.
Oh,
it's your time to shine.
It's time for my segment, Newsomancer.
Very good.
Which will continue until there's no more news about Neuromancer.
So that should be just today then.
Just today. No, James, it'll be today, and there'll be one more filming update, and then we'll talk about when it comes out, when I watch one episode, and then they'll cancel after a season.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to talk about it ever.
Perfect. Love that.
From Ars Technica, Apple orders 10 episodes of a Neuromancer TV series.
Ars Technica.
I know, right? The novel butt technologies, they should call themselves. The technology of butts. The art and science.
Sure.
The novel will finally make it to the screen after decades of false starts.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a TV series adapted from the famed William Gibson novel Neuromancer. We're there on Apple TV Plus. The stream ordered 10 episodes.
They're loving their weird, obscure sci-fi whatever over at Apple,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Big fans. Someone up there is a big nerd.
Who did that show that was like, Raised by Wolves. Was that Apple?
I watched Raised by Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ridley Scott did that. Produced it, yeah.
The order comes after decades of failed attempts to greenlight a screen adaptation of the 1984 science fiction novel. The most recent widely known failed attempt was by Deadpool director Tim Miller in 2017. The series will be helmed by showrunner, writer and producer Graham Roland, who until now was best known as the creator of the AMC TV series Dark Winds for helming the series Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime Video.
Oh, your favourite show.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Nevertheless, I'm excited for this. The previous William Gibson adaptation was on Amazon Prime, and it was The Peripheral, which, again, got cancelled after
the
season.
That one.
I like some of it. Mm. Produced by Skydance. There we go. I think they're doing this one because it's about rogue AI.
Yes.
And I think somebody went, AI's big.
Isn't that aren't they doing a Tron movie? And then this.
Yeah, then this. Okay.
Led into that. Yeah,
yeah, we don't actually have the rights to Tron. Disney has that, and we're not Disney. We could buy Disney.
Sure.
But that might be tricky. So let's just see what we do.
I don't think it would be. Just do it. It's rumored that Robert Pattinson is going to be the lead.
Ooh.
Mr. Neuromancer.
That's right.
Get in here and put on this VR headset and smoke a cigarette. That's everything I know about Neuromancer.
Boy, this world sucks, but you've got to do what you've got to do. Put on the headset and smoke a cigarette. God.
So, yeah. Have you read this?
Yes.
And?
It's good. It's a classic for a reason.
Sure.
Oh, is there a dog here?
Yep.
Give the public some dog updates.
Oh, she had dog surgery this week.
Ollie had some dog surgery.
She got 400 teeth pulled out. No, and six teeth
on,
or something.
Now she's on serious pain medication. Yeah. So
she's a bit loopy.
I said hello today. She was very excited and she jumped up in the air and then just flipped upside down in midair and just fell on her back.
Because Mason pushed her.
I didn't push anybody. She's having a lovely time. Good work, Ollie. Good job. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, Ollie.
She's doing a great job, isn't she? Do you want to talk about the Willy Wonka experience?
Sure. Let's bring up some
images.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was basically some AI art. That
not just AI art.
What do you mean, not
well,
just?
They also the creators of this Willy Wonka experience.
Oh no, I know. Sorry, to lure people in.
Yeah, but they also but they also made an AI script. They got ChatGPT.
Oh, that's right.
And they gave it to all the staff that they hired, yeah. And were just like, just make this happen.
Yeah.
Just read.
And it was
this.
Just pages and pages of nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what kids love.
Well, then I
just
mean,
a
also
weird
on the one hand. The idea that you would think that it was like it was going to be a delightful chocolatey experience and then you go in and it's a nightmare world, that's quite true.
That's
to,
very Willy Wonka.
To
yeah,
Willy
you're
Wonka,
right.
Isn't it?
You think they nailed it, actually.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish I had the fly here because it's full of just...
Lies?
It's full of lies and bizarre...
Like turns of phrase?
Turns of phrase, and it's just that AI thing where you go, have it make a flyer and half the words aren't real words because it's just sort of guessing at letters and stuff like that.
And I love that everybody in it who was made to do it was like, it was bad and
yeah, yeah.
We're sorry.
But I mean, you know.
It's not your fault. You're an actor.
All the people involved seem to be nice except for one guy who got cancelled, I think.
Here it is.
That is the power of the internet.
Here's the flyer.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking websites are awful now, aren't they? So it's...
It's some engineering
entertainment.
Okay.
It's Catgate King live performances, tons. What's this even supposed to speak?
XR Surdre lollipops,
yeah.
A paradise of sweet teats.
Practical info.
Yeah.
You got some dates there.
Oh, only 2 days. Wow.
Yeah, it's at the Box Hub warehouse in Glasgow. Right.
Which... And it just turned out to be just a warehouse with a big kind of styrofoam rainbow, and every kid got a quarter cup of lemonade and one jelly bean, but no chocolate.
No.
I think that's great. And all there were some Oompa Loompas there.
Sort of, yep.
Oh, my God, what a world.
Yeah, what
oh, and
a
creature
world.
Called the Unknown, who was a man in a black drop sheet and a silver mask who hid behind a mirror, and he made chocolate, but he was evil.
But there was no chocolate.
No, there was no chocolate. No, there was no chocolate at all.
And he's just scared children.
He scared children. I think that's beautiful. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And that's AI. That's
it is, yeah.
And I mean, look, on the one hand, this has created more entertainment for the world than a lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a short burst that will be gone in a couple of days.
I think, I feel like this is a one and done.
Absolutely.
This is like Kony 2012, you know?
This is AI. This is AI entertainment peaking right
yeah.
here.
It's funny because it's like one of the first, you know, examples of this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the first. But
I wonder if the creator is going to come out and go, yeah, we knew this was going to happen. This is actually the art.
Oh, okay, right.
Because that's what I would do in damage control mode. I'd be like, no, this was actually art.
Yeah.
And you all fell for it. This is like Banksy.
Okay.
You thought we were just massively incompetent and released this flyer that made no sense and expended no effort in an effort to make a cheap buck. But actually, this is Banksy.
Yeah.
It's Banksy.
It is Banksy in a way, though,
Banksy
isn't it?
Banksy in a way, isn't it? Yeah.
So, yeah, that's fun, the Willy Wonka experience. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's
too late.
I know, it's finished.
It's finished.
Finished.
Why wouldn't they do another run of it, though?
Why wouldn't they?
Do another run.
Yeah. God. I mean, just the goal to think you could pull that off with what you had as well.
Yeah.
God.
And not
the,
even.
Just the stones.
Not even proofreading the script. Just being like.
Unbelievable.
Okay, well, we need one guy to be the unknown, and we need two Oompa Loompas, and we need a Willy Wonka.
Yep.
This'll do. It's fine. Yeah. Should we proofread any of this? Nah.
No.
I don't worry about it.
Also, you want Willy Wonka like interacting with like people. You don't want him just
giving them chocolate, perhaps.
Yeah, and that, but like just doing a monologue.
Yeah, but the goal.
Do you not know anything about
the goal to be like, don't even give anyone chocolate on the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. Like, not even one bit of chocolate.
It's bold.
It is bold.
It's bold. That's why I like it.
Yeah.
Trailers ahoy.
It's art.
It's art. Yeah. Trailers ahoy. I got a couple here. We've got The Watchers, which is M. Night's new movie.
Yeah.
It's a bit The Village.
It's a bit The Village, sure.
Which was
it's a bit
of
The Nice
movies.
House on the Lake.
Oh, yeah, that comic book we talked read, about. Yeah. So it seems to be that a woman, she'd be lost in the woods.
Yes.
But luckily, she'd be rescued.
Oh, that's handy.
But luckily,
movie over. Oh.
For the monsters, maybe.
Monsters?
There's actually monsters, and they come and look at them through a glass window that they can't see out
coffee
of.
Coffee table. Coffee through table, a glass coffee table.
Every night. And they just stand there and they're...
Do we know for sure that they're monsters, though?
Well, that's
maybe
the
real
thing.
Monster is man.
Exactly.
Maybe this is a game show in the future.
Yep. Maybe it's not a window. It's a mirror.
Maybe they're on a spaceship.
Maybe
it's aliens.
On a spaceship, yeah. Can they go out during the day, maybe? I don't know. And then at night, they've got to get back in there.
Maybe.
In their watching window. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm intrigued.
Maybe it's an alien kids program and they're looking through the round window or what have you.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
there's so
good.
Many things it could be.
Yeah, I know. Do you think we've guessed it in doing that?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I think we should keep guessing. I don't think we should just I don't think we should just go in, buy a ticket, watch it and, you know, let the artistic merit flow over us. I think we should just spend the entire time attempting to figure out the secret.
Yeah.
And then be disappointed when it's not exactly what we wanted.
And I don't even like the artistic merit flowing over me.
Yeah.
I find that actually a bit offensive.
Yeah. So, putting your artistic merit on me. Yeah. Very presumptuous.
I have an umbrella for artistic merit and I'll be using it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. When's that one out? I didn't even...
Sometime in the future.
Let me find out.
No, looks promising.
I like that he's just going back to doing...
Low budget.
Because
it's in a room.
Yeah, and he's June 14th, so there you go.
He kind of feels like he saw one of those kind of viral posts about, look, here's a cozy little micro cottage out in the woods.
Yes.
What if there was horror in it?
What if that had a big mirror?
What if it had a big mirror and the mirror reflected the horrors of that our humanity? It wasn't cozy at all, even though you would assume it would be cozy.
I don't want that. That's a bit cozy.
That's right.
It's not the only big epic trailer this week, though. We also had Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1.
That's right.
Which is out June 28th.
Also, very cruel to put that at the end of this. Part 1 of 2. Yeah, thanks.
It's a long trailer, isn't it?
Yes.
Because anything that's longer than like 2 minutes 30, you really feel it. This one's like 3 minutes something.
Yeah.
So this is Kevin Costner doing Western epics again.
Because he did Yellowstone for a bunch of years and it looks like all those checks have cleared.
Bunch of money and cred and whatever.
He's abandoned. He immediately quit Yellowstone, as I understand it, and he's immediately back.
Doing what he loves.
Which is the big movies.
It feels like it was... made in the 90s. Like the trailer feels that way.
It does feel like
that's not a bad thing necessarily, but it does have that old kind of Western, an old, I mean 90s kind of sensibility to it, like lingering shots and swelling music and like
Kevin Costner
romanticizing the old West and all of these kind of things that he loves.
Romanticizing the ladies.
But also, yeah, he is romanticizing the ladies, but do you think he does also, you know, he might be like, and Native American people. It's not just cowboys. It's
It kind of feels like after Killers of the Flower Moon, anything kind of this does look like a movie. Do you see, maybe in the cinema, I will I'll be the artistic
you'll
merit
have a wash
will flow.
Over
it'll
you.
Wash right over me.
Not me.
But I don't know.
Mason. I'm Teflon.
I kind of feel like that Killers of the Flower Moon. It was such an experience to go in and just. Feel the reality of these characters and
all those ugly heads looking at
you. All those ugly heads. And just go back to this. I'm like, boy, this looks like a real movie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This looks like every show has perfect teeth for the Old West, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I like about it. So that's Chapter 1 is June 28th. But you only have
this year?
Yeah. And then you only have to wait until August 16th of this year also to get Chapter 2.
Wow. Yeah. That's a tighter turnaround than the Matrix sequels.
I don't know. How do you think this is going to go?
Great.
Yeah?
Yep.
So do you ever see his Wyatt Earp? Because there's Tombstone and then there's
I ever did, unless I caught some snippets of it on the telly back in the day.
Apparently it's more accurate and whatever.
Yeah, because that was the kind of the big...
That was what, the year of Wyatt Earp?
Yeah, and Tombstone kind of, I wouldn't say blew it out of the water. But
I mean,
nobody remembers what happens in Wyatt Earp.
And who's in it?
No.
Yeah.
Costner and...
I mean, you got Val Kilmer and that kind of, that in itself like makes that movie... So memorable.
Absolutely.
God, you'd be shitty, wouldn't you, if you made the other Wyatt Earp.
Which came out first?
And he called it Wyatt Earp. He even put the name on it.
Well,
I don't know which came out first, actually. I can find out for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They should have called Tombstone everyone but Wyatt Earp.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
1994, 3 hours and 32 minutes.
Came out 3 hours and 32 minutes before.
That's right. Oh, there we go. Dennis Quaid was Doc Holliday. Gene Hackman's in it. Jim Caviezel, he's one of your faves.
He's not. I don't like
Isabella Rossellini. These are all big names. So that came out June 24th.
Of 94.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Tombstone came out in 1993.
Oh, okay. Oh, Pipped at the Post and It's Better.
Or they probably screened them, but early 1994.
Okay, right.
So, yeah. And it doesn't, I don't think it goes for, and it only made like 10 million more.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think this is a chip on the shoulder situation?
Oh, okay.
Do you think he feels like he was?
And Tombstone only goes for 2 hours and 14 minutes.
It's breezy.
Boy, is it.
Do you think that Costner's here out here being like, I never got my due for the Westerns?
Yeah.
You know, I think people are really.
He did. He got Dancing with Wolves. He won an Oscar. That's true. Go for 5 hours.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did The Postman. That's a Western, basically.
That's right. He did Mr. Brooks. That's basically a Western.
It's just a Western, isn't it?
A Western.
Yeah.
He did.
Do you think he's going to like halfway through
whatever
this?
Tin Cup is? Yeah. Did he do Tin Cup?
That's golf, maybe. That's basically a Western.
Basically. I mean, those rolling plains.
It's just a Western, straight up.
Except it's par four or whatever.
Par four. Mm-hmm. Wow, I love that.
Par four, the course that he does a Western.
I agree. So anyway, good luck to him.
Yeah, I think so too.
For that kind of money, this is exactly what I would do.
No, you would.
Make
wouldn't.
A 3.5 hour Western where I'm the lead.
Okay, you might do that. But you'd also be, I reckon, your character would be sitting on a stoop.
Yes, he would.
You'd be old.
Yep.
But you don't have any old man makeup on because that would be effort. But you're just sitting on a stoop on like one of those swingy chairs.
Yep.
Maybe on a porch,
mm-hmm.
and you're telling your kids about how you're a Western, big time cowboy, and then all the other stuff is done by other people.
Yeah, cuts to someone else doing it.
Yeah.
Who plays the hot priest? Him.
Andrew Scott?
Andrew Scott,
Andrew,
yes.
Andrew's three A's.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
That's how he became famous. He was the first name in the phone book.
Is that true?
Andrew Scott.
All right, should we move it along?
Yes.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right. We're back to the world of Dune.
That's right.
With Dune Part 2 on a budget of $190 million. This had some pretty good preview screenings in terms of numbers, Mason.
Oh, yes.
At time of recording, we don't have final. But on the Thursday in the
Isn't
US.
Isn't that just eating you up inside, James? Because you love having the numbers.
I don't even know what to do. It made $12 million on Thursday previews, which is double that of the last Dune movie, but also COVID, et cetera, and whatever.
Yes. Most of us watch it at home.
But Luis Fernando on Twitter has given these insights. On the 3-day US opening weekend, it's looking to make 80 to 90 million.
That's big numbers.
The 5-day opening overseas is 100 to 110, and that would make its global opening, which excludes China, 180 million to 200 million. Now, seeing as this is like obscure Star Wars and whatever.
Sure.
And somewhat
beloved by millions.
Yeah. But it's.
I mean, not Star Wars numbers.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's somewhat more obscure, and even though Star Wars borrows a bunch of stuff from Dune. But
But yeah. I think Denis Villeneuve probably borrowed some steer from Star Wars.
He probably did.
Yeah.
He probably did. Well, he's also, and we'll talk about this, he's been storyboarding Dune since the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, this is like a passion project of him since he was a kid.
A little lad.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Mason.
Go on.
What do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate.
Yeah, man.
First of all, remember old Dune?
The one from the 80s.
No. Newer than that.
The one from 2 or 3 years ago.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
It's a sequel to that,
first of all. Yep, great.
Okay, so at the end of the last Dune,
mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to go to the planet of Arrakis,
yep.
The planet of Dune.
For the fracas.
The fracas and the spice.
Because
the spice lets you do crazy space navigation.
Yeah, it's space navigation and drugs.
And also drugs, yeah.
That's all good.
Anyway, people love
it. It's like huffing petrol,
but
basically.
It's the only place you can get the spice.
Yeah.
Which raises the question, what did they do before the spice? How'd they navigate?
How'd they get there in the first place?
The answer is computers, if I recall, but then they outlawed computers.
They outlawed computers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't they have like their ships, their organic something?
I don't know.
I'm sure that's something like that.
Okay, I don't know. All right, okay.
I can't remember.
Mm.
I haven't read Dune. I should preface this by saying that.
Preface of Dune.
And you haven't read Dune?
I've read some of First Dune.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at this guy.
We're pretty good, aren't we? We've done our research.
Together we've read some of Dune.
That's right, but there are two houses.
Yep. There's more than that. Even I know that, having not read Dune, but go on.
That's right. And so, well, there's two important ones and the other ones suck and they know it.
Yeah, they do.
In their heart of hearts, they know.
Yep.
But it's the Atreides and the Harkonnens and the Harkonnens, and the Atreides are the good guys and they're all beautiful.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Harkonnens are the bad guys. And they're battling over Dune.
Yep.
But also there's the Fremen who live on Dune.
Yeah.
And in the last movie, the Harkonnen killed all the Atreides.
Yeah.
Except for Paul Atreides.
They did.
The most beautiful of them all.
The most beautiful man. And he escaped into the dunes.
That's right.
Sand dunes. And in this one, he's doing a big rebellion so he can take over the galaxy potentially and become.
That's right. Which is going to be good, I think. I foresee no complications.
That's what I took from this.
But I can't foresee the future, but he can foresee the future sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This guy's Luke Skywalker.
In a way, sure. In a way, he is.
He's as cool as Luke Skywalker.
That's right.
He never gets anything wrong. That's what I like about it. I tell you what, Mason.
Go on.
I thoroughly enjoyed this.
I did also.
It's good that movies are good again.
And they're back.
We've had a few rough, we had a rough start.
The entire first part of 2024 up until this point, pretty
yes,
much.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
A visual treat. I would say I haven't seen something this visually arresting since
Argyle.
Rebel Moon Part 1, I was going to say. Argyle's good too. You know, you like sci-fi epics like
I do.
Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 1.
Sure, I love
how
that.
How does this compare to that?
It's better than that, actually.
By
somehow.
How much? By what magnitude?
10 to 1,000 times.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
And it's just, it feels cohesive and it feels massive.
Yeah.
And in a way that it doesn't feel like it's just like, oh, look at this, society. Aren't they crazy how they live in this? It's a big city.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I like it enough.
Some stuff floats and they're floating. There's a spider lady. I mean, there was a spider lady in June 1.
That's true. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't really remember.
Okay,
but, you're right. And I think, everything, the world here, and it's they're not lingering on things that they kind of don't have to. When they do linger on something, it's for, like, story purposes or world building and whatever, you know what I mean? Or you drink in or whatever, whereas I didn't like Rebel Moon. I don't know if anybody knows that. But, like, that just felt like slow-mo shots of just whatever, you know? And this is, like...
Slow-mo shots of boring things.
Yeah, that's accurate. So there was actually a Times of London interview with Denis Villeneuve. Had this to say about dialogue.
His name might be Dennis.
Yes, it might be Dennis Villeneuve. He said, frankly, I hate dialogue. Dialogue is for theatre and television. I don't remember movies because of a good line. I remember movies because of strong image.
Hasn't seen Tombstone then, clearly.
You mustn't have, no.
I got two guns, one for each of you.
Yeah, love that. Yeah. I'm not interested in dialogue
at all. I'm just saying, what if Paul Atreides had said that?
That would be crazy. You know?
I got two guns, one for you now and one for you in the future. Because I can see in the future also.
I got the blue eye.
But we don't use guns anymore because of lasers and nuclear explosions.
Sometimes they use guns.
I got knives.
Like sniper rifles
and stuff.
He does have two
knives for you.
He said, I'm not interested in dialogue at all. Pure image and sound, that is the power of cinema. But it is something not obvious when you watch movies today. Movies have been corrupted by television.
Uh-oh.
I think also he understands cinematic language so much more than us, I would even say.
Sure, maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see.
He is using language, but he doesn't have people just say the stuff.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, it's all storytelling in this. And it's similarly with Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what is happening by emotions, expressions, context of the scenes that they're in. He's so good at doing that.
James, you are doing a masterclass right now.
Am I?
Did Denis Villeneuve take your masterclass on, he did. On the movies?
And explaining the movies that he made? Yeah, yeah. He did actually, yeah.
Wow.
I just think that's...
And he's like, I finally get it. I finally get what I've been doing.
I just think that's, it's just really incredible. I think it's just, it's so precise. And apparently he's storyboarded, as mentioned, he started storyboarding this in the 80s just for fun. Like he knew going into this exactly what he was looking for, which no doubt helped with the budget because a lot of this is done practically. I don't think there's a single VFX shot in this, Mason.
Absolutely not. This is all for real.
Yeah, there obviously is. We'll talk about it. But this is they've also got this really interesting method of bringing this to IMAX. This is from cinematographer Greg Fraser.
That's the guy.
The guy. Who
the
did
main
the...
guy, Australia's own Greg Fraser.
That's right, he is. What did he work on? He worked on some...
He created The Volume.
There you go.
Yeah. He's the only one who can do it properly.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because he did The Batman as well. Because if you look at The Batman, that uses The Volume, but you fucking wouldn't know what to look at it.
That's right.
So Dune was shot for IMAX digitally, then it was transferred onto 35mm film, which was then scanned back into digital.
Oh.
And the reason they do that, because if you look at a lot of digital, and I guess you might say Avatar.
It's too clean.
It's too clean, whereas the idea of using it just on film, the aesthetic, it might be too gritty and you might lose some detail, but by bringing it, it sounds insane to do it this way.
They put it on 35mm and then they buried it at Bondi Beach.
That's right, yeah.
And they dug it up.
And then so you get kind of the best of both worlds, apparently. Mm. And I think that's amazing that somebody figured that out.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, the cast, Mason.
Oh, beautiful cast. Even the Uggos are beautiful.
Even the Uggos have got something going on, don't they?
Yeah.
So returning Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Stellan Skarsgård, Dave Bautista, etc.
I really
think that Timothée
and some secret stars who are in the marketing, but
yeah, might be in the movie for not very long. There's one bit of casting that I don't love, which we can talk about. It's not a spoiler, but
it's Christopher Walken, isn't it?
It is. Yes. Yeah. It's nothing against Christopher Walken.
Okay,
but you know, Timothée Chalamet, I'm glad they didn't shoot these back-to-back because something...
He's gotten better as an actor.
Yeah, and I never disliked him. I think he's great. Uh-huh.
I'm not really familiar with much that he's done aside from Dune and...
Wonka. Call me by your name or whatever he did.
I didn't see that one, yeah. I'm just not caught up with a lot of stuff. Like, he was in that movie where he's a cannibal or something?
I haven't seen
cannibal
that one.
Cannibal Kids?
Cannibal Kids,
a couple of cannibal kids.
He's got... Like, his presence is really kind of...
I was going to say, because so much of this movie is about... So he's an off-worlder, but the Fremen, some of the religious extremists in the Fremen have a prophecy that someone will arrive
from... The geeks,
the
nerds.
Yeah, exactly. They'll arrive from off-world.
That's you, the audience, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Rooting for this idiot.
Yeah. Someone will come from off-world and they will free the Fremen.
Whoa.
And he is... some people think that he is the one.
Yeah.
Because also he is one of the products of a selective breeding program, a secret selective breeding program from an order of all female kind of spies. Assorted troublemakers, you know. So he is both.
Yeah, he's a manufactured prophet.
Yes.
Kind of
not
messiah
the one that,
figure.
Not the one they were expecting.
No. Because they wanted a girl?
So that
is that right?
Yeah. Like, so basically, the idea in the Dune universe.
Yeah, the Dune universe.
The Dune universe. You can apparently choose what sex you want your children to be.
Yeah.
And the idea was that Leto Atreides, who is Oscar Isaac, and Rebecca Ferguson, were going to have a girl.
Yeah.
The idea was that the Bene Gesserit, who are the religious order, they were gonna make them have a girl, and then House Harkonnen has a boy, and then we're gonna marry them off together.
Yep.
And that was going to result in, like, unifying the power, and then the Bene Gesserit were going to have ultimate power in the universe, et cetera. But then...
They're building a Death Star.
Exactly.
Through babies.
Yeah, yeah. But then the Atreides family decided to have a boy, so it's kind of ruined the situation.
Universe.
You ruined the universe. But, yeah, so he is... Timothée Chalamet has to play a guy who has an alleged destiny that people believe, and then he has to become that.
Yeah, he doesn't necessarily even believe it or want it.
But is he going to buy into his hype, and is he going to portray a man who is so charismatic and powerful who can do that?
And he can knife fight.
And he can knife fight, and that is a lot to put on one actor, I think.
Yeah.
Especially one who hasn't, you know... I was in Interstellar. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, barely.
Yeah,
he talked about that recently. He was like, I cried when I saw that because I was barely in it.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
But I think there are definitely some scenes, and there are some scenes in this
yeah.
that he really rises to
He's
the
great.
Challenge in
He's
this.
Really, really good.
He really, you know, you believe that he could buy into that hype and come into that power and convince everybody that he is there.
Even if he's not necessarily believe it.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And I think it's also his motivations are interesting because it's initially just revenge, really.
Yes, uh-huh.
But then it becomes more than that. And I love this idea, and apparently, not having read Dune, Frank Herbert saw a lot of people like miss
Frank
this.
Herbert hadn't seen hadn't read
Dune. He hadn't even read it. Yeah.
Why would you? It's long, it's boring, yeah. God.
He didn't even proofread it.
Yeah.
But that a lot of people took the wrong message from it, being that he's a messiah and he saved everything and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, well, that's not what – and that's why he wrote like some of those subsequent works, because uh-huh. it's to be like, actually
– that the sequel Dune, Paul Atreides ruins everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which I thought was
Everybody hates Paul.
Everybody hates Paul, yeah. Anyway, in terms of new cast, I thought they were great. Florence Pugh's in this. Austin Butler plays Sperm Atreides in this. Just a big white sperm man.
That's right, yeah.
Lea Seydoux's in it. Well, apparently Austin Butler cut back, this is by Variety, on his method acting for Dune Part 2, says Denis Villeneuve, and he was only 25 or 30% in character when the camera was off.
Oh, that's good.
That's still probably too much to be that guy.
Yeah, sure.
But
yeah.
That's really good, I guess.
He barely murdered anybody.
But no, he was...
But the remainder was Elvis, obviously.
Yeah. He was... Really good as well.
I agree.
As the character Sting portrayed in the Dune movie in the 80s.
He's doing a very, I mean, speaking of accents, he's doing a very Stellan Skarsgård accent.
Yeah, he's
like,
yeah.
The Harkonnens are from Sweden or whatever,
yeah,
it seems.
That's right.
But yeah, I think they don't have a lot of screen time together.
No.
But they are sort of in a way meant to be the opposite numbers on one another. So they both have to be charismatic.
It's Khan and Shatner or whatever Shatner's name
sure,
is.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In those movies
mm-hmm, yeah.
and show, yeah. But yeah, the Christopher Walken casting just to me felt odd because I love
he's the Emperor
Walken.
Of the Universe.
He's the Emperor of the Universe, mm-hmm. but it's just Christopher Walken and he's got his big Rick and Morty hair that he has
sure,
now
okay,
and whatever.
Yeah.
And he's just doing the Christopher Walken voice, which is, of course, he's
that's
doing
his own voice.
That's his voice and that's who he is and this is exactly what he does. And he's never been bad. He's not even bad in this. I just think he's miscast. Where if you look at like Baron Harkonnen, Stellan Skarsgård, who
those
took
bloody
like
Skarsgård.
Yeah, he took like 8 hours to get into that suit and whatever uh-huh. and all that, and he couldn't go to the bathroom at all, and mm-hmm. and what like he used to take Imodium so he wouldn't go to the toilet and whatever.
You also watched the Stellan Skarsgård,
yeah, exactly.
Iconic roles video.
Great, really good. But whereas Christopher Walken's just like, "Hello, I'm the Emperor of the Universe," and it just didn't, it didn't work for me.
What would you? Because, but I mean, he's. He is bound by
I just
who
think,
he is.
Oh, no, I just think not him is
okay,
my point.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Don't cast him. Because if you look at those...
Because you can only see him as Christopher
yes!
Walken.
And I think in this, when you've got this, you kind of have to believe that you're on this planet and these people are aliens
and
from...
And Christopher Walken is there.
And Christopher Walken's there. That's right. That's my problem with it.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
it. Like, Dave Bautista's in this, but I'm not like, that's Dave Bautista every time I see him,
right.
you know? So
what if they gave him not... What if he doesn't have? What if they gave him a different look?
Maybe if he had a ponytail.
Sure, okay.
A cool ponytail.
I see what you're saying, but I mean,
even younger Christopher Walken, maybe, I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I didn't feel because he's not.
Again, he's not bad,
and he's not in a lot of this.
No,
he's
not.
Got 5 minutes of screen time. I kind of felt like who would have been a better Emperor of the Universe?
Well, the other Skarsgårds, obviously. Well, Ian McKellen would be the obvious choice.
I see. I would say Ian McKellen. I think.
No, that would be strange. I don't know.
Patrick Stewart?
Well, he was
in also
Dune.
In Dune. There you
Who
go.
Who was he in Dune, the original one?
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was going to say Ian McKellen, Emperor of the Universe, you know?
Yeah.
He's an old guy. He's an old British guy. A withered old.
One of the two Ronnies?
Michael Ironside.
Okay, sure. Yep.
One of the two Ronnies, eh?
Yeah, sure.
Great. Those are all good choices.
Ronnie Corbett.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know how they did the sandworms, the situation? In the book.
What does that mean?
Which I haven't read. In the book.
I have a note here that says Arrakis Uberpool.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you summon them and you hope you get a good one.
In the book, mm-hmm. apparently it's very vague on how you get on them.
Okay.
Whereas this, they show you the process. And
yeah.
It's a real ordeal to get on a sandworm. And again, you want it to be a good one, not too small, not too big.
Yeah.
You know, you basically got to fall onto it and grapple it and then control it using its kind of air pocket wavy things and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that all, I thought that was beautifully executed. A lot of that they built like the back of a sandworm.
Okay.
And like had, you know, sand and wind like blasting you in the faces. You kind of, this is something they spent a lot of time on getting right. Where if you look at like the original movies, it's just green screens and
of course it is,
80s blue screens and just kind of floating up and down or whatever.
Who do you reckon was the guy who was like, you know what, we should go with green?
I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, it was blue initially.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, before that, it was a whole different thing.
I'm saying who was the guy who was like, you know what, green would work better.
Don't know.
Yeah,
I think maybe because there's more that kind of blue in costumes and on people in movies. Yes. So I would say you don't. It doesn't have to be any particular color.
That's true.
It just needs to be a hard color.
Yeah, that you can cut out.
You can cut out, yeah. So, yeah, that all made sense to me. But, yeah, but how do you, I don't know how you get 50 people onto one of these.
Yeah, yeah. How do you slow it down? Yeah. Maybe you just have to keep doing laps and one person gets on at a time.
One at a time. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, there's a worm stop.
There might be a worm stop.
Might be a worm stop.
What did you see this in, by the way?
Regular format. No, extreme screen.
I saw it in D-Box.
Oh, did you really?
A shaking chair, which I turned right down.
Of course.
I didn't turn it completely off because it's not a fun experience to be sitting in a shaky chair every time someone fires a gun and whatever. But I would say if you can see this on like IMAX, I couldn't do. But there's so many like the action sequences in this, and I would say that there's not even that many really.
No.
But there's a moment where they take down a walking kind of crab vehicle and they're hiding behind the legs and there's like an ornithopter trying to like got them pinned down and all of that is just and it's just a helicopter and a crab leg.
And a great sense of scale as
well. Yeah, my God. Yeah. Just amazing. So good. So, I don't know. It's just, movies are good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like,
sometimes
I don't know.
Movies are good, yeah. Sometimes movies are good.
Should we do some spoilers?
Let's do some spoilers. I'm going to say best movie ever.
Definitely best movie ever.
Best movie of the year, thus far?
Thus far, definitely.
Mm. I mean, until The Crow comes out.
Yeah.
South African Crow.
Until
man.
Coty versus Acme gets leaked.
Oh,
another Warner Brothers property. Yeah. There's no way this would have got greenlit under Zaslav if the first one wasn't already like.
Yeah, because he would have been like, oh, based on a book, boring.
Yeah, no way. Yeah. So I don't know.
Or themes, don't like that. People would get upset by the themes.
Mm.
Or it parallels real life in some way.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
Yeah. Best movie ever, obviously.
Yeah.
I would also say these aren't for everyone.
Okay.
It's like hard sci-fi, you know, you got to pay attention. You got to kind of be into this kind of thing, I guess.
I saw it and then I composed my thoughts. And then I'm like, I wonder what other people have to say about this. And I saw a couple of reviews that were basically along the lines of, if you didn't see the previous one, you wouldn't understand what was happening here. I think you would.
Yeah, I would say see the previous one.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Would you say it's stronger than the previous one? Because people are saying it's more action-packed and whatever. And whatever they say.
Yes.
Yeah, but it also I think these obviously work well.
Mm.
Two movies that you should see. Maybe not in this order, but.
Yeah. There was an IMAX double feature in Melbourne, and I thought, I don't know, if I can sit through 5+ hours.
Do they have a break in the middle where you can go to the bathroom?
No, they gave you one of those things you put up your nose.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and you had to pee out of that.
Oh, I like how nobody's sweating in this as well. If you're in the desert, you can't sweat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, yeah, I saw an interview with Javier Bardem where he's like, I'm a big sweater, so and I'm not supposed to sweat because you're not supposed to be wasting water in the desert.
Uh-huh, sure.
And, yeah.
And they fix that?
Just mopping him down between takes.
Just mopping.
Yeah,
because
he's just out there in the desert just eating sand all day, people fainting and wearing big costumes and all of that. Anyway, so there's a few things they change. This is spoilers. So the Baron who gets killed by Paul Atreides in this.
Yes.
His name's Paul, and I love that. He's killed by a baby. By
Rebecca Ferguson.
Rebecca Ferguson has a baby.
Yes.
I was reading again.
She's talking to throughout the movie.
Which I liked, but it's a baby that it's like.
It's a baby that demands exposition.
Yes, it wants to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
But it's
you can talk, but you can't look around, baby. Great stuff.
It's like a wise little baby that kills this guy.
Yes.
And I think this is probably a better way to interpret that. I think that's a strange thing to kind of drop into this universe. I don't know. What do you think for this version? Because he's pretty faithful on the whole.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
No, I'd rather he be killed by Paul and not a baby.
Yeah.
The sentiment I am gathering on Twitter is even big fans of the original books are like, yes, a lot of changes have been made, but it's mostly for the better and it works with this narrative.
Not to say the book is bad.
But no, but I mean, nobody, I can't see a lot of people out there going, the changes, you know, that are very precious about the material and are saying, okay, no, it must be adhered to completely. So
Yeah, absolutely. Another one is that a lot of the characters in this, the female characters, including Zendaya's character, mm-hmm. that she's on board with him being the big prophet messiah guy.
But in the movie, not so much.
Yeah.
I
like that too.
Yeah, again, I didn't know where that was going to go. But, I mean, obviously she tells him that she'll love him for as long as he stays who he is. And he's like, well,
I got some news for you.
Got some news for you, baby.
I think that's interesting.
I'm
going to
change who I am.
Because he drinks the worm poison at one point so he can see the future. Mm-hmm. So he knows who he's going to turn into. He knows that by taking over as emperor and then entering into a war with all the other houses, all the shittier ones who don't accept his legitimacy, mm-hmm. that it's going, there's like millions of lives are going to be lost. Mm-hmm. And he still walks into that role knowingly.
Mm.
I thought that was really interesting. And then to have her go, I don't love this actually.
Yeah.
And apparently Denis Villeneuve did this purposefully because the idea behind the original Dune, which I haven't read, is that he's not a hero. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. Mm,
and it's something that he eventually comes around on. And
because you don't want him to be the guy who shows up on this planet with all these indigenous people and is like, yeah, no, I'm here to save you, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, and it worked out.
Yeah.
That's great.
And also, as mentioned, like he's manufactured. He's not. You know, he is a prophet, but he was...
It's in a way, we're all manufactured.
It's the same way that Anakin Skywalker was made, you know?
Oh!
Who did it first? Who's to say?
Frank Herbert,
probably.
Decades ahead.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I also thought it was really interesting because she did some crying earlier, but then later as she's leaving, you can see she's upset and whatever, but then she steadies herself and she's not crying and she's like, I'm not shedding tears for this fucking guy. I'm writing a big worm out of here.
That's right, yeah.
We're enemies later, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to marry somebody else. That's not cool. He said he wouldn't do that. Oh, he didn't say he wouldn't do that, but it was implied that he wouldn't do that.
That's right.
That's what I thought.
It's sort of implied by all the kisses we did.
That's right.
I was going to, just a stray thought, I love the Harkonnen home planet.
Yeah.
They've got kind of a that's how you do an alien world.
It reminded me of the game Killzone, which this may borrow from.
Oh, yeah,
Who did it first? Who's to say?
That's a great
I haven't
point.
Read the book, but go on, yeah.
But they had those kind of like ink fireworks.
Yeah, I really like that too.
That was a great like inspired bit of effects work. You
yeah.
Know?
God.
Black and white world, pretty cool.
Yeah. I think that was the idea behind that there was a – did they say it was a black sun?
They did, yeah.
Is that – So is that like a perspective, like similarly to Oppenheimer, or was that just what that world looks like? Just a horrible black
I think that's
and white
what it
world.
Looks like because there are moments in it where they move out of the shade. They move into the shade rather, and you can see them in kind of normal hue.
Oh, okay,
but
right.
when you go into the sun, everybody's completely black
yeah,
and white.
So, because yeah. when they arrive on planet Dune, they're not completely white.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Also, Anya Taylor-Joy is the baby.
That's correct, yes.
And that's fun, I guess. Yeah. This is a book spoiler, so people might want to avoid this.
Okay.
When does Paul turn into a big worm? What book is that?
I don't think he does turn into a worm.
Doesn't
I think
he turn into
I
a
think
worm?
It's his son who turns into a worm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's Leto the Second who turns into a
Jared
worm.
Jared Leto the Second. Now he's going to appear, isn't he?
Yeah, that's three. What were you thinking?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't go to any fashion shows.
God,
this week.
Would have loved to have been the lead in this, don't you think?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, he was in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
Being Jesus
Maybe
or whatever.
He showed up and he's like, my name's the same name as the guy.
Think
Come
about
on,
it.
Come on, I could be the adult version.
I could turn into a big worm.
Come on.
I'm already a big slippery worm.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's fun. Mm. All right, cool. Anyway, we're getting one more from Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah, he said he's going to do Dune Messiah. I've got the list here. He's working. He's going to do Dune Messiah.
Yep.
He's going to do Rendezvous.
Isn't it more like an epilogue kind of than a...
I don't know, James.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Go on, though.
He's going to do Rendezvous with Rama,
mm-hmm.
which is by either Isaac Asimov or Arthur C. Clarke. I can't remember. He's going to do a version of Cleopatra, and he's going to do Secret Project.
He also mentioned this week that he loves the aesthetic of the Batman Beyond universe and he'd love to do like a Blade Runner / Batman
Maybe
movie.
That Secret Project.
I would love him to do
and
that.
That's Warner Brothers.
That's Warner Brothers and he could do a Batman movie. Why not? Give him a Batman movie. Let him make a movie that makes money.
Yeah.
I think this is the first
this
one.
This one is going to make some money. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's his first one that's going to make.
Exclusively makes amazing movies that
Isn't
mostly
that fascinating?
Don't do well.
How has he made his way to this point?
Because they're very good.
They're very good, but Hollywood doesn't care, especially I guess he got in on Hollywood at the point where creativity was still rewarded.
Yes.
Like if this was his – like you said, if they would attempt to make a Dune now and they did it and it didn't make any money, he'd be out the door.
They'd kill him.
They would kill him, yeah.
So I'm just looking at his box office. I mean, like Prisoners and like their
sure
this and like Enemy and all of those ones. Mm. They're like smaller projects, but he's big. Like so, like Blade Runner bombed like horribly, despite being arguably. I wouldn't even say arguably. It's better than the first Blade Runner, and even better than the movie Soldier, which is also set in the Blade Runner.
It's better
universe.
Than the TV series Neuromancer. Impossible to say, isn't it?
No, it probably is.
Yeah.
Got some reviews here, though.
Yeah, go on.
From people who have written in on either Twitter or our Facebook Great Mates group.
Oh, yes.
Nate says, I mean, it's best movie ever for the Dune Part 2, but those legitimately calling it the best movie ever are almost certainly the same people who said the same about Avatar when it came out, only to vaguely remember it a few years later. I think it's much better than original Avatar.
Okay.
And I think this will be remembered.
Sure.
Very fondly,
I mean,
but
you know, and if you compare this to, say, most recent Avatar.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people who are like who are very feel very strongly about either one of those, but I think they're kind of it's sort of to me it's an apples and oranges kind of thing.
Yeah.
Avatar: The Way of Water is a technical showcase.
Yes.
That has a plot that is decent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And I mean, there's emotional stakes in that movie, and I'm sure people like were very moved by that movie. But I feel like this one had more emotional stakes that I could believe in. I think.
Absolutely.
But I think, you know, from a technical perspective, it's good and the scale is good and the effects are good, but I'm not intellectually, I'm not blown away by what they did in this movie. It looks good, but I think the things that Cameron achieved in The Way of Water, incredible. You know what I mean?
Better than this, would you say?
Better than this.
Avatar 2 is better than this movie.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Unbelievable,
guy. I'll say anything.
Gibson Crandall says, as a movie, I think Dune is nearly flawless. As a huge book fan, I'm slightly more conflicted, but still really love the movie. Alexis Gentry, who you might know as Trashwire
on
various social medias, she said, absolutely loved it. It gave me the same feeling as when I saw Lord of the Rings in theaters for the first time. Just an amazing cinematic experience. Nate says, Nate Flicks and Chill. There we go, that's a good name. Just saw Dune Part 2. Denis Villeneuve is the Maddie, M-A-H-D-I, of cinema. Best movie ever, seriously.
That's the top guy.
It is. It's seriously one of the best movies ever. Red Line Flame says, I recently saw the movie Wonka and I was surprised how good it was. I really enjoyed it. Matt Berry would be the perfect choice to play another Oompa Loompa and Matt Berry can sing. It's a good point. And Ryan Newer says, best movie ever. I loved it and spent much of the runtime thinking, I can't believe they let this get made. Yeah, me too. I left the theatre.
There's an episode of How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
A good movie.
I left the theatre 12 hours ago and I'm still gathering my thoughts. All in all, it seems like people are enjoying the movie Dune a lot.
Dune.
So there you go. Dune 3, I guess, 3 years away at the very least, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Assuming Warner Brothers are still around.
Because I think that picks up, like, having not read the book, like 9 or so years after, isn't it? Or like a decade of war and atrocities and then Paul Atreides
sure thing,
is
man.
Like, maybe I shouldn't have.
Maybe my son should become a worm. Oh, come on, Dad. No, you got to become a worm.
Did you
come
like
on,
the little worm?
Yes.
Also, the worms are like, that's the Sarlacc, you know, sort of.
In a way it is, isn't
Who
it?
Who did it first? We don't know.
Impossible to say, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. And that's I know in Spice, et cetera, there's a bunch of other stuff. I know.
Death Sticks and so forth.
You don't need to email me, all right?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. All right, shall we move on to the next segment of the show?
Yes.
But what is it?
It's what we're reading.
Yep.
What are we going to read?
Whoa.
I'm doing a thing.
Whoa, this is a segment of the show. We're talking about things we've been watching and reading and doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, you know.
I know everything.
Yeah, that's right. You know.
I drank that worm poison, so I know.
Oh, now
everything.
You know everything.
I do, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I'm going to do some bad stuff.
And you're on board with that?
I hope this doesn't age well. Yes. whatever.
You don't want to get cancelled?
No.
Okay, great.
Yeah, for doing bad stuff.
So people would know film director and actor, sometime actor, Werner Herzog.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but he has an autobiography out. It's called Every Man for Himself and God Against All, which is the name you would make up as a fake autobiography for Werner Herzog. But not only that.
He reads it, I assume.
Yes, he does.
Of course.
So there's a paper copy, and I was going to get the paper copy, but then I'm like, I'll just check because I've got Spotify Premium.
Mm.
And if you've got Spotify Premium, you get a certain amount of free audiobooks.
Yeah.
They have a select list, and you can just sort of dive into whichever one you
and
want.
And most of your money goes to Joe Rogan, and this is just a great pipeline.
Exactly.
Into that,
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, it's Werner Herzog reading his autobiography, And it, initially, it does sound a little bit like a guy
doing an impression
of Werner Herzog doing like Dr. Evil monologues. Like, you know, is it the first Austin Powers where he talks about his childhood?
Yeah.
Well, it's
very funny.
Yeah, like what a storied existence this guy's had.
God damn, yeah.
It was like a wrestling heel for a while as the really? German. Yeah. God. Yeah, so.
Did that one about caves or whatever?
Sure.
Yeah, no, he's always did he do Grizzly Man?
No. But that was the Grizzly Man.
I don't think he did. No? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, anyway, that's exciting.
And he was in The Mandalorian for some reason.
Yeah, that's right. I need to see the baby. I've also been watching on there's a Disney Plus Hulu show called Death and Other Details.
Okay. It was Werner Herzog. Okay, he did do the Grizzly Man movie. Go. Sorry, that's go right. on. Death and Other Details.
It's it feels very much like they went, okay, we need a kind of Knives Out, Glass Onion kind of situation. It's set on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
And there's been a murder and there's two people on a boat that are linked together. But anyway, it's got Mandy Patinkin in it. That's pretty much the reason why I jumped on it. And I'll tell you what, it's okay.
Well, it's got a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it seems pretty, it is okay.
It's pretty I definitely feel like they've gone, let's do a Glass Onion, let's do a little bit of Murder on the Orient Express, let's kind of, you know. It feels kind of like they...
I've never even heard of this.
It feels kind of... I saw a billboard ad for it and I'm like, oh, I'll give that a try. It feels kind of like they rolled the dice randomly of like the setting and the quirks of the investigator. And
right.
The,
who is the investigator? Oh, it is Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah. And like their links to the other people and, you know...
You didn't decide to watch the show Shogun, which is apparently incredible and also Disney+.
Well, you know what I did is I switched it on and I watched it for about 30 seconds and I'm like, I need...
Because a lot of it is in Japanese.
Yeah, I need to set everything aside.
I need to learn Japanese.
I need to set a lot of stuff aside and do it like that. So
completely agree.
Yeah, but that's next on my list, Shogun, I think.
Awesome. All right.
What about you, James? What have you been doing?
I watched a documentary.
Oh, here
it's
we go.
It's called Here Comes a New Challenger. It's directed by Oliver Harper, who does these documentaries every few years. He also has a great YouTube channel. He's got a great review channel and does various other things on there. He also does a lot of retrospectives on, like, this is every RoboCop game and whatever, and what's good or whatever bad about them. But anyway, Here Comes a New Challenger details the origins of the gaming phenomena that is Street Fighter II and how it impacted the lives of kids and teenagers worldwide. So it covers the first Street Fighter game and, like, the mechanics behind it and what, like, fighting games were prior to Street Fighter.
Sure.
And then, like, the explosion of Street Fighter II and then the multiple versions and updates that came from that. And then, like, the weird ports that happened and, like, people who would, like, crack, like, arcade machines and make faster versions and you can do different things and whatever. And then they talk about, like, the first movie. They don't get into the second one, which is probably for the best. And the weird, like, and the shift into fighting games into 3D and how, like, then Street Fighter was kind of archaic and the games that came up against it, like Mortal Kombat and Killer Instinct and all of that. It's like 2 hours and 22 minutes long.
Ooh.
So it really like gets into the weeds of Street Fighter,
sure.
Which is what I like.
Yes.
I don't want a vague kind of thing. And then
is this on your YouTube or do I have to find
no,
it somewhere
okay,
else?
No, okay. So it's on, if you go to sf2, as in the number 2, doc.com, you can get either a limited like physical copy on Blu-ray or whatever, but you can also buy it on Vimeo, which is where I bought it. Okay. And you can also download it from Vimeo if you wanted to watch it on whatever else. But, I just like – because I feel like a lot of these documentaries and you see them on Netflix, it's just like – and then there was this and then they made this version and then they kind of – but this is like, okay, so there was this version of Street Fighter that some lunatic made and it's better because of this, this, and this.
Uh-huh.
And it gets into – it's – yeah, it's – this probably, like commercially, this would be like an hour and a half max. And
did it get into Marvel superheroes versus Street Fighter?
Some of it, yes.
Marvel
it does,
versus
yes.
Capcom.
They do all of wow, that. Wow, yeah, wow. They do everything.
Street Fighter Alpha.
Yes, they talk about Street Fighter Alpha. They talk about Street Fighter 3.
Wow.
They talk about like there was a web series in the 2010s. And they get the director of that in, and then all there's just a lot. Again, they don't talk about the Legend of Chun-Li the movie like
that's
at
a shame.
All. I think that doesn't come.
That's
up.
That's interesting.
Maybe
okay.
they couldn't get any of the footage, but they talk to the director of the Street Fighter movie and kind of like what he was going for, and also the disappointment around that, and why and people are like, why did they make this version of it? There's no street fighting in this, but kind of the cult following of that.
Yeah.
And that was also made into a video game with the digitized actors and the whole
Carly
thing.
Yeah, Carly Minogue's in that
Yeah,
game.
It's a whole thing, man. Anyway, I really liked it, and I like his YouTube channel a lot. So, again, it does really get into the weeds, which is, again,
Great.
One of the specific reasons why I really liked it.
Yeah. Very cool.
Don't give me a vague whatever Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody who's watching a Street Fighter specific documentary doesn't want... And it was very popular.
And then
years later they made Street Fighter 2 Turbo
and
or
then,
whatever.
Yeah, no, it was... No. And then even this, like, hearing about the home ports and being like, okay, so these were the limitations of the home system and this is what they had to do to get around it and whatever, and the pixels are, the sprites are different size. And I'm like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I love all of this.
Because I remember that era when they were just like, they had to port it to everything.
Yeah.
And they were like porting it to like the NES and the Game Boy.
Yeah.
And at one point they
ported it. It's on the Amiga and it's dreadful.
It was on the Spectrum, the 8-bit, like, which is like a sub Commodore 64 computer from like the... You know, it was by the time Street Fighter was out in like 1990, it was already obsolete.
Yeah.
This thing, but they
everything.
You know, they gave it giant sprites and they would like move like molasses.
Yeah.
You know, because it was.
They
so...
talk about the Tiger Electronics one.
Oh my god!
Just all of that. Yeah. So anyway, again, it's at sf2doc.com.
Cool.
But you can Google it, you'll be able to find it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well,
cool.
Neither of us watched Shogun.
No, I was same with you. I'm like, I need to learn Japanese and sit down. I'll try and watch it this week. It's only a couple episodes out, or is it all out? They're saying it's Game of Thrones,
no, it's
but
two,
Japan.
It's two, it was two episodes out, and then the rest is week to week.
Game of Thrones, but Japan, they say?
I read a tweet today, James.
Game of Japan,
about sort of George R. R. Martin and his legacy regarding Game of Thrones.
And how he thinks he's better than me.
Yeah, that's right, he said that. Yeah.
It's not even true.
I mean...
I don't think it is.
I mean, if we're going to be honest... But I mean, the long and the short of it was basically about how, like, and the discussion around it was sort of about how it takes him so long to write these that maybe he just doesn't. But his whole outlook on the world that he's created has probably changed
since
he started. And like, how do you end a saga if you had a particular outcome in mind when you started? And because he apparently sort of writes to character in the sense that it'd be like, okay, well, this character encounters this problem. What would they do?
Die.
Well, they might
get
die.
Stabbed. Or get their
might,
eyes stabbed.
Or they
out.
Might just like wander the desert for a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Which means he can't just, you know. And the criticism of the last season of Game of Thrones was basically the producers were just like, we need to get to here at the end. So let's just say these characters.
Yeah,
go
normally
crazy.
There'd be three episodes where they have to get.
Let's
there.
Just say Emilia Clarke's character goes crazy.
Yeah,
And you can't, you know, and that's not satisfying for a character to just suddenly kind of you know, snap. But, you know, so it takes him a really long time to sort of get characters into places that where it's narratively satisfying kind of thing. And also, like, the idea that maybe he's like, if he were to, before he finished the last book, if he were to die or to become a recluse that never gives interviews or anything and never goes out in public, he would be a guy who made, like, 9/10 of the biggest, you know, a fantasy masterpiece.
Yeah.
But if he finishes it and it's bad,
then he's that guy.
He's a guy who really, you know, he really shanked it.
So
at
where did this start?
Just on Twitter somewhere.
Just on Twitter. Just a Twitter convo.
Just a Twitter convo.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get in on that.
No. Maybe he's not better than me. Can't even finish his. I'm gonna finish this podcast.
Are you though?
Yeah. As you were talking then, I'd have thought that, like, God, this is weird people listen to this.
Right?
And that's not because of just what you were saying.
But mostly
just,
that.
Yeah, it was mostly you because it was just really not that engaging.
I know.
No, that is interesting, genuinely. Yeah. I mean, can he even, like, in the time left in his life potentially, how many books has he got? I don't even know where they're at. There hasn't been one for
I said, because he isn't doing it the wrong way. He's not doing it via plot and just saying we have to get to here.
Yeah,
he's gonna he looks at every character and sees how they interact, and he goes, okay, what would they all do in this situation? And he just sort of has a mosey around.
Yeah.
To their dramatic situations and a conclusion. So
yeah. Oh God. So the original book of Game of Thrones is from 1996. Then the next one was 1999, and then 2000. So that's good. And then 2005, and then 2011, and that was it.
Yeah. Right.
And The Winds of Winter, and then A Dream of Spring is.
So he's saying he's going to knock it off in two.
I also think there's a possibility that he is close to finishing a lot of this and he's tinkering.
And he's just going to one day just be like, it's all done.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or he's doing a lot of cocaine parties in Hollywood and he's
whatever,
like,
man, that's cool too.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I only care about cocaine.
That's right. I used to care about a deeply detailed fantasy world of my own creation, but now that's before I discovered cocaine.
Exactly.
And now every day is a... deeply detailed fantasy world of cocaine.
I think it's I can't remember what I was going to say.
All right, then.
What a fascinating human being.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah. Also, that's right. I think it's funny. Every time he's like, he starts to write something else or hints that he's going to do in some kind of other project, yeah, whatever it is, people are like, no!
Finish Game of Thrones! Finish Game of Thrones!
I think they will get finished, even if he doesn't finish these. Somebody will finish them.
Oh, absolutely. For him. He'll have to bequeath it, yeah, either in his will or just
to me.
Yeah, to you. Because you're interesting.
And then I won't do it.
Yeah. He'll pass it along and then somebody will take a crack and everybody will be like, well, you know.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Interesting.
I mean, it really is called the Song of Ice and Fire, but whatever.
No, it's called Game of Thrones.
It is called Game of Thrones.
Like, he said I renamed it Game of Thrones.
That's right. Should we move it to letters?
Letters.
Hope you got that theme ready.
Oh, I've got it ready.
Do you have the YouTube app on your phone?
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks. It's free.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
We're going to hear right now, we're going to do letters. We are going to do letters.
We certainly are. And if you do want to give us a letter.
Give us a letter.
Hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter.
That's right.
Or WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com.
You better believe it.
.com.
That's right.
Got any letters, Mason?
Here's an email from Zach.
Zach.
Hey, James and Mason.
Hello.
I've been listening to Caravan of Garbage for over a year.
Well, it's also a video, so you could watch it also.
Well, he's got no eyes.
Oh.
Just recently
I didn't know that.
Well.
I just want to say I didn't know that.
Interesting.
When I thought I'd get cancelled, this might be it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Podcast host says someone with no eyes should just look at a thing. Well, it's not that easy.
I didn't know.
Wow. Just recently I started listening to the Weekly Planet podcast at work. When I learned you take letters, I was so excited.
Yeah, man.
I'm not sure if anyone's inquired this before, but as an American, I wanted to get a couple of Aussies' perspective on this hypothetical. If they were to dust off the Crocodile Dundee franchise and reboot it, do you think Aussies would be excited or upset? And which Aussie do you think would be the best suited to the role and leather vest? Personally, I think Jason Clarke. Presumably this hypothetical reboot is also a comedy. Maybe Eric Banner if it was pretty serious.
They're
take.
All comedies, technically.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Technically. I don't know. How would we feel about it? I mean, there was that ad campaign from a few years ago. It's got Danny McBride as the son of Paul Hogan.
That's right.
And Chris Hemsworth.
And did we like that
collectively? Yeah, and there was a second where we're like, oh, this could be interesting.
And then he did that thing that was like, it's the fantastical Mr. Hogan or whatever.
Yeah,
right? And
it was which
like
I watched.
And what was it like?
It was bad, but I liked it.
Was it a narrative?
Yeah, it was the life of Paul Hogan as he is now living in LA.
Right.
And like
avoiding taxes.
Yeah, avoiding taxes, allegedly. And like the shenanigans that come with it. But there's stuff in that where kids are like, that's Crocodile Dundee. And I'm like, nobody would recognize that.
No, absolutely not.
He looks completely different and no kid has seen Crocodile Dundee.
I don't think Australia would do it.
I don't think the Australian film industry would do it. I don't think he'd give it up either, alive.
You don't think?
I think he'd want to do it.
He'd want to be Crocodile Dundee again. I mean, I could see that.
He's so old, man.
Yeah, he is. Also, as I understand,
he was old when he did that.
Yeah, no, I feel like we've talked about this as well, but apparently he's
84.
Yeah, he's 84. I mean, he could do, like, I could see a version where he's Crocodile Dundee and he is really old.
Okay.
And that's the gag.
I'm Crocodile Dundee. I'm real old. Look at this. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's a million years old.
He looks pretty good for
a million years old, yeah.
What if you did a version where he's Crocodile Dundee and any time it cuts to it, like he does a stunt, it cuts to like a really obviously not him guy?
I think it should cut to an even older man.
Just being flung across a ravine or whatever on a whip. Yeah, maybe.
Look, man, he owns it all. If he wanted to do it, I would love to see that.
Sure.
Just give him another crack at it, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I think there's a certain
segment. There will be something. Something will happen at some point.
I think a certain segment of the Australian public would be genuine, like unironically excited to see another.
I think we even, when that ad happened, we thought it might be a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we also talked about how apparently he gets in there like and he'll look at the script and he'll do some rewriting. So,
yeah, he's very
so he can get another credit on the money, allegedly.
Yes, these are things that he does.
Whenever we talk about allegedly. Australians, we have to say allegedly because the libel and slander laws in Australia are very.
That's right.
Very
strict. Cool.
They're cool, allegedly. Yeah.
But also, he's not here.
No, he's not here. It's true. Jason Clarke is also too old. I think you need a really young guy.
Again, I think he was like at least 45 when he did the first one.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's fine. You could go that old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think. Like, remember when they did, like, they did the Starsky and Hutch? You know when they did the Brady Bunch reboot?
Yeah.
And Starsky and Hutch, where it's like, we like the property, but we're also making fun of the tropes of it. And I think you'd have to do it like that, but I would be very curious as to know whether Paul Hogan would want to do it. Because I think that's the only way to do it and make it successful or palatable to audiences is like, we remember this character as sort of an old joke.
Yes.
And most people don't remember it, but we remember kind of the outward, you know, that's not a knife, this is a knife. Like, that's all that people remember.
This is a knife.
And if you turned it into like a kind of satire of rebooting old properties, I think it could work.
Yeah.
But that relies on Paul Hogan going, yes, I would like that. Like, we have to acknowledge that it's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned with the magical, fantastical, phantasmagorical Paul Hogan. It's called
the very excellent Mr. Dundee.
Did it feel like...
John Cleese and Chevy Chase and Olivia Newton-John are in it.
Did it feel like he'd be willing to be a punchline?
Yeah, a little bit. A okay. little bit, yeah. Okay. I mean, you know.
Well, let's make it happen, folks. Let's do it.
Where's the Albie Mangles movie?
Let's start a GoFundMe. Let's...
Oh, my God. This one. This Paul Hogan's punching. He's still punching darts.
Absolutely is, yeah.
God bless him. And he's wearing a leather jacket.
I guess also he was kind of a parody of himself of like an Indiana Jones style character.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Those are like the first two at least. They're kind of endearing. They're like very of their time and whatever, but there's a charm to them.
Because it's about a woman who goes to the out, an American woman who goes to the outback and she meets
Paul Hogan and they got married in real life, though they recently divorced.
Oh.
Yes.
Punches too many darts.
It might be the reason.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's why.
Zach also has a backup question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most egregious, deplorable example of an Australian accent in film? It's in Pacific Rim, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Those two Australian guys. A couple guys of those ones, yeah.
I like them, though. Like, I love bad Australian accents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I like them a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, The Simpsons episode, we talk about that a lot, but that's all bad.
But also, like, intentionally. Just, yeah. I think when people get it right, though, I think it's. When people get
it's really impressive.
It's really impressive, like Captain Boomerang in the Suicide Squad game. I think that's.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in the movies because I'm like, he is Australian.
Oh, he's Australian. No, that's true. Yeah, or even when Australians tap into that particular.
Yeah.
But also remember the movie The Stranger.
Which one? Oh yeah, who did that? A really good one in that.
He's the guy in the Mission Impossible movies. Yeah, but he nailed that.
Ethan. Ethan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
Robert Downey's van,
but in a way, we're both in this van. Yep.
Robert Downey Jr. does a good one in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
But that's more of a kind of a it's more of a parody, but he still does it. Like, does it really well.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a good one. I got one here from Phenomenon who says, tagged the pod a while back and got a shout out for this, so it seems like it's out. He's talking about Dark Forces, which was re-released. They updated all the graphics
Sure.
And you can also play it in the original. For those people who don't know, Dark Forces is Doom, but Star Wars from the 90s. But you can jump. Other things.
That's right.
And you can make rooms on rooms, which you couldn't do in original Doom.
That's so true.
So they re-released it. I just want to play Dark Forces too. But I don't know if you saw that's great. I'm glad they made it. I might even buy it, not even to play it, just so they make the next one.
Yeah.
But because it ends up just a rat's maze, that game later, of just like keys and red doors and whatever. Yeah.
As was the style at the time.
Exactly. But LucasArts or Disney,
yes,
cancelled a first-person Mandalorian story-based game
again
this week.
Because remember they cancelled Star Wars 13, which was going to be a Boba Fett game.
Amy Hennig had one that they cancelled as well. There's a bunch of them. So it was a story-driven Respawn who made Titanfall.
Yeah.
Mandalorian game where you weren't the Mandalorian, you were a Mandalorian. But it used like jetpack traversal and different weapons and all of that.
I don't like
that. Why would anybody want to play that?
Yeah, I know. I don't like that the Mandalorians are bounty hunters. I like the idea that Boba Fett was just some guy who stole some Mandalorian armor.
Yeah.
Like his old origin.
Well, too bad. It's his destiny.
Great. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Anyway, I'm sad about that because you're going to run out of things to remaster eventually if you're.
Then he'll have to come up with new games. Ideas.
Yeah.
And we'll be dead by then.
We'll be dead.
So.
That's right.
Here's an email from Robbie.
Robbie.
He says, I just can't quit Jurassic Park.
We're going to have to.
Dear James and Mace, I've been listening to the pod since 2017 and been a massive fan ever since. Just wanted to say that with the news of Gareth Edwards directing the next Jurassic Park movie, possibly, I've once again ended the cycle of being excited for a Jurassic movie, only for it to be not just disappointing but bad.
Yeah, man.
I love the first movie, and I keep going in thinking the next one will be different, and they never are, but I keep getting hyped anyway. My question to you both is, you have a franchise that constantly disappoints you, but you can't help but stick with it.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Okay, right. Mine would be the Oceans movies. They've never...
Never reached the heights of the first one
with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And I keep hoping. I went in at 12 and 13 and 8.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at this cast, right? It's going to be incredible. Yep. Like, it's a new cast. What a you know, what a bunch of, like, industry veterans and new people, and it's going to be so cool, and it wasn't.
You know about the prequel?
Yeah, there's a prequel with Margot Robbie and
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling, yeah.
That seems like that's the one for you.
I don't think it's going to happen, probably, because now they're too big because they did the big movie.
Hopefully they signed on beforehand.
Yeah, maybe, but then they can get out of it with their millions of dollars.
I mean, Indiana Jones for me, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't been great since...
What would get? I mean, if they made another one somehow, we would watch it, obviously.
Yeah,
but
Terminator, that's one.
That's yeah.
Old Terminator all day.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm just because, and again, because it's. I think it's the same with Jurassic Park World. It's the same with Oceans. It's the Terminator, Indiana Jones. It's snippets of greatness.
Yeah.
In all of them.
Yeah.
At least, you know, one great scene, and you go, "Oh, this could have been the whole movie."
If they'd
done it better.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Jurassic City, I think, is like the working title.
Okay.
I don't know. I think Daniel Richman mentioned that.
Okay.
I don't know whether that will.
I mean, that could work if they.
An abandoned New York that's all dinosaurs. Exactly.
I mean, if they can't scientifically, you know, prove that the world would be filled with dinosaurs or whatever,
yeah.
Give us a city zombie style where it's filled.
I Am Legend of Dinosaurs.
They've walled off New York City and it's filled with dinosaurs. Give us a change in that world.
Absolutely.
Huh? Yeah.
So, that's still going to hit that release date. I think it films in July. Gareth Edwards is directing, as we mentioned.
Robbie says, I just want to shout out my buddy Evan, who listens to the pod and asks on his behalf if he can be the official number one Black Adam movie fan of the pod. It's his favorite movie. That's Robbie from Scotland.
That's actually my favorite movie. So. Wow. But, you know, I'm going to let this slide.
But there's one more email here from Nicole.
Nicole?
Who says, my boyfriend and his best friend, Robbie and Evan, love your podcast and constantly quote and talk about it. However, my boyfriend just informed me he emailed you to call his best friend the world's biggest Black Adam fan. I do find this unfair as he is now left out. So can you officially make Robbie the world's biggest Morbius fan? And he absolutely loves the movie, and especially Jared Leto. Thank you very much from Nicole.
Is there another email asking about Nicole?
No, but there could be one.
That's very fun.
It's two emails deep so far.
I got one from Red Lion Flames who says, it's Sydney Mardi Gras tomorrow. Do you watch many LGBTQIA+ films or shows? Some of my favourites are Bros, The Boys in the Band, the Netflix series Heartstoppers, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I do.
Oh.
You know, I enjoy all media.
Absolutely.
And I would be strange if I excluded this, don't you think?
All media is any good media, you know, any good media. I would have loved to watch, again, over the Christmas, New Year's break, going into the new year, we make a lot of fun of, like, oh, there's no good movies. There were a bunch of good movies and I just didn't have time. Yeah, and
they don't come out.
They're delayed, or you just see them on the coming soon outside the movie theater, and you're like, that's exciting, and then they just skip the theater somehow.
Yep.
And end up streaming. But All of Us Strangers apparently
that's
very
the
good.
One that I've written down that I want to see, because that's got Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. And apparently, I think it's on streaming now. I don't know if it is.
I checked and
so,
I
so okay. Well, it's close to. But yeah, as mentioned, Heartstopper's great. I've only seen the first season on Netflix. It's really just like, it's just nice as well.
Yeah, okay,
sure. These nice people.
Is it based on a book or a...
I think it is, or a graphic novel, maybe?
Ooh.
I can't remember. I mean, the obvious one is Brokeback Mountain. But I think the thing about Brokeback Mountain as well is it had two of the hottest rising, like, straight male actors.
Sure, right.
In the world at the time, who made this movie. And it was just a different era of... And it took it seriously. It wasn't like, and I know there are like parodies and jokes that are even still made today about that, but it was this real earnest kind of tragic love story. And it's like a genuinely amazing movie. In terms of comedies, so Bottoms we talked about last week.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
one. That's really fun. Bros was mentioned here as well.
That's Billy Eichner?
Yeah, Bros sunk like a stone because nobody promoted it. Uh-huh. But Bros is like it's just an old-fashioned rom-com.
Mm.
It's very funny if you haven't seen it. I mean, another one from the 90s, Tom Cruise, he's straight. Philadelphia.
Yep.
Tom Hanks, really good. There's a Netflix movie called The Power of the Dog.
Yeah,
which is a Western, which is amazing.
And at the end, you learn the power of the dog.
Yeah, it's a laser.
It's a laser coming out of its eyes, yeah.
So those are some of my ones that I enjoy. But, good luck at the Mardi Gras. If that has happened yet, I don't know.
Love that.
At the time of recording this. So there you go. You got any others, or is that
That's every email that's ever been sent to us.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Should we wrap it up?
Oh, here's just one from Joseph. Hey, fellas, been listening to the show for a while now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I've ever heard either of you mention the show The Venture Brothers, especially surprising since the big finale was in 2023.
I've never seen
it. It's a show that seems very up your alley. Actual very funny comedy based on sci-fi pop culture. If you haven't watched it, then treat yourself to a great show. Maybe we will. I've seen a little bit of The Venture Brothers. I like that era.
Isn't it supposed to be Adventure Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I think that's probably a typo there.
Probably why I didn't watch it then.
Yeah. I love that kind of Hanna-Barbera revival, like Harvey Birdman.
Ghost, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk show, whatever. Yeah.
But Venture Brothers, I never really got into.
Didn't Harvey Birdman come back recently?
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see any of it, but yeah.
Oh, there's 3 seasons of The Venture Brothers on Stan. So not all 5 seasons.
Which seasons? The middle ones.
Probably the middle ones. Probably 2, 3, and 4.
Ooh, they're my favorites.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to watch some Venture Brothers this week.
Well, I hope you do.
I will.
I won't. I probably won't. I watch Shogun after I learn Japanese, I will very quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, next week also is Roadhouse. We're going to be roadhousing everybody. There's been some drama this week about.
I'm going to be roundhousing people. You can roadhouse anyone you want, but I'm going to roundhouse.
Thank you.
Every listener I encounter.
Oh, speaking of BigSandwich.co, this week Fidel put up that video we did on Superman 64. We did a playthrough of that, and then another bonus thing. I had to play it twice, and I feel like the anger comes through. I feel like. I don't know if you feel the same, Mason, about it.
I mean, what didn't come through was the funny color you turned after we played it for 20, 30 minutes and realized that there was no audio recorded.
So bad, Mason.
Yeah, I know.
And whose fault was that? I don't even know. One of my kids, I think, came in and messed with some of the equipment.
But punish them both, that's what I say.
That's right.
That's right, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast on your podcast app of choice. Thank you for telling your friends about it, because that's how we get new listeners. And thank you for leaving a 5-star review in app if you can, wherever, or maybe there's some standalone podcast review.
Definitely.
Platform, I don't know. But if you do that, 5-star review, James will read your review out.
I'm going to do that right now.
Nice.
This one's from the Principal Mittens the Cat. So it's hands down my favorite podcast. I somehow ended up listening to one of the clips that was referenced online, and after that I was sold. They are both down to earth. That's true.
So
knowledgeable.
True.
Hilarious. Check.
Oh, yeah.
And just fun to listen
Japanese.
To. No Japanese.
Not currently.
Not this week.
Or next week.
Yeah, and I've just learned so much about Australia.
Well, they're arigato gozaimasu.
They're the only show that...
Thank you very much.
The only show that I actually give money to listen for the extra content and no ads. Thank you so much. And this one's from Blue Soup and Down. Sup and Down? It says, it's good. I mean, it's no Bluey, but it's fine, I guess. I mean, we're not trying to be Bluey. We could do that.
We could do Bluey easily.
Yeah.
All we'd have to do is learn dog language, which is what I presume they speak
Brisbanean dog language.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
That's right. Folks.
Yep.
If you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group or the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord for fun civil chats about podcasts and pop culture. You can thank Fidel and Maisie and Saravi for keeping it all civil and fun and good times over there.
You best believe.
You want to follow some people on the socials, first follow our friend Rob Collings. He edits this podcast and makes videos and keeps you up to date on all the things Weekly Planet over at Raw Collings. At Raw Collings on Twitter.
He does such a good job.
At The Weekly Planet on Twitter. You can follow me, Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and Nick Mason on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies
everywhere.
If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. Check it out, and a man you wouldn't miss. Or you can go to BigSandwich.co.
$9 this week.
That's right, $9 per month. I mean, if you want to see James be furious.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of content on there that makes James furious. We're going to record some after this.
We are, actually.
And also bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, early videos, video game let's plays, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. T-shirts at tpublic.com.
That's right.
Search for The Weekly Planet.
Yeah, search.
Next week, Roadhouse. I'm excited for Roadhouse.
I'm excited for Roadhouse, too.
He's gotten ripped. Gyllenhaal's gotten ripped.
He's doing a ripped Roadhouse.
That's right.
And
he might have been that person who was mean to Rebecca Ferguson.
Oh, was he on the list?
He was on that list.
What movie did they do together?
They did some space one. They're out in space.
Oh, couple Life.
Of dudes. Yeah, Life. A couple of dudes out in space.
Really?
Yeah. Because she was like, it's her business.
And who she was, would have named. Google who, Rebecca Ferguson who?
But she did an interview on a podcast and she said, there was one person who she'll never work with again and they were number one on the call sheet and it was like 10 or 11 years ago. And everybody went crazy
online
detective.
So she did say 10 or 11 years ago.
But maybe she was that, you know, maybe she was like, you know, back in the 90s, 10 years ago, which is what I think all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, the person said, also didn't say man.
That's true.
But said being so insecure and angry because this person couldn't get the scenes out and would literally look at me in front of the whole crew and say, "You call yourself an actor. This is what I have to work with." Oof. And I liked how Dwayne The Rock Johnson came out and said, I liked who did this. Which is like a way of him being like, it wasn't me.
Right.
Nobody thinks that you would have done that because I think also he's not like an actor's actor in that way.
That's true.
Where he would have been like, no one's being good acting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Vin Diesel would have done that.
100%.
You're not employing the Brechtian method, he would say.
Oh, did you see he announced next Fast and Furious?
No.
Whatever. Because he hasn't, since the bunch of allegations came out, he's been quiet on social media and he finally did a post where he was like, we're doing one final Fast and Furious.
One last ride.
God, and I hope that's true.
Just knock it off at 11?
Yeah, man. Just right. A casual 11.
Casual 11.
Yeah.
Ocean's 11.
Legs 11.
That's right.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's the whole show.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Again, Roadhouse next week.
Mean old Jake Gyllenhaal.
He did it. It wasn't it?
I don't know, maybe.
We knew it.
Maybe.
We knew it.
Oh, here's another thing.
Hugh Grant, people have said.
I think she said specifically it wasn't Hugh Grant and it wasn't Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Those are the specific ones she didn't say.
And I think it's not Emily Blunt, or Emily Blunt said it's not Emily Blunt.
No, because she's always like, that's my girlfriend, Emily Blunt.
Oh, my God, you know, really?
So, yeah,
yeah. Well, that makes sense.
The other piece of news. Here's a piece of news.
I love news.
They're apparently planning on an American Psycho reboot.
Oh, that's
but
right.
But a present day one. I think Gyllenhaal would work for that.
I think he's too old.
No, because the point of it is, yeah, but that's the thing.
He's vain.
Well, I mean, he's not vain and old, but I think the.
Don't you think you want to set it in the time period where it's set? Doesn't that add to like?
I think it kind of does, and also like the idea of you know how Patrick Bateman has the insane skincare routine or whatever doesn't seem that weird now. Like
no,
when TikTok people
regular,
are like, here's
the
15 things I use every morning or whatever.
Yeah.
But somebody on Twitter said, okay, in order to the perfect Patrick Bateman needs to be like. Conventionally good looking,
yep.
Good actor,
yep.
Freak, like weird freak. And it's like Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
Or somebody also suggested, is it Allison Williams? You know, the lady from Get Out?
I thought the one that went to jail for the cult.
Oh, that's Allison.
Like, yeah, well, she
else.
Is something else.
Yeah.
Allison Williams. Oh, yeah, that's a great choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that. Yeah, because she turns in...
In Get Out, yeah.
Get Out, yeah.
Turns on a bloody dime, that one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's a lot of Patrick Bateman kind of TikTok lookalike kind of
Yeah, do you just get it? I mean, is that the entry point?
Get a TikTok guy.
No, but I mean, is the new American Psycho influencer?
Maybe.
Maybe they're
But is that kind of like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. It's like...
But also, why do it if you're just going to do it?
Yeah. If you're just going to do the 80s businessman again. I think that the core of...
One of the Skarsgårds?
The core of American Psycho is it's someone who is completely deranged and maybe a murderer. He's almost certainly a murderer.
Yep.
But they exist in an industry where everybody is like that.
Yes.
And therefore no one notices.
Yeah.
So I think you could do it in TikTok, but the problem with TikTok is it's all remote.
Yes.
So it has to be maybe like a WeWork kind of like a shared workspace
set
kind of thing, and everybody's like that, but one guy's a murderer.
Well, I like that.
I don't know.
I saw Jake. I've got some like Jacob Elordi, like that guy.
Okay, he's all right.
I don't know enough about it, but he's freak like, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Bale is like that. Is just...
Andrew Scott?
Yeah, again, probably. I mean, in your 40s is like
Oh yeah, okay, right.
What about Tom Holland? Do you think he could do it?
No.
Just no?
He could. Sure.
Yeah. Austin Butler.
Yes.
He was that weird sperm freak in that movie.
He was Mr. Sperm Freak.
Yeah.
That's right. Austin Butler could work for sure. Okay, that works. Okay, that's it. That's the one.
All right. And he'd get into it. He'd really get into it.
Yeah.
All right. That's the show.
Grab that gem, folks. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Roadhouse.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.